You may come here next week and nothing's happening. I don't know. But that's the police that we've been warned, and the police are with us. We're in contact with him every day because this guy is pretty serious about what he does, and all he wants is publicity. He does not represent Jesus, does not represent the Baptist. He don't represent nobody but himself. And it's bogus. But so they target us, and I'm honored. We're honored to be targeted by that guy. Let's see your Bibles. One more time. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. And by the way, I saw that the Denver Broncos are undefeated still. What? What? Denver Broncos won. Huh? They what? They lost the game? They're undefeated, right? So what are you saying? They're undefeated. So we play them next Monday. I'm just kind of stirring stuff up here, you know. I'm just trying to, you know, create tension. That's where we're going with this conversation, trying to, you know, get tension, excitement, you know, controversy. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. Thank you for being patient with us, and we pray that we will continue to develop and nurture a do-something church. And we pray that I pray that people would realize the value of serving. And I pray you teach us more about body language, your communication to us. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of y'all have never heard of the John and Kate plus 8 drama? Never heard of it. Okay, a few people? Just a few? Okay. How many of y'all have heard of it? Okay. How many of y'all are tired of it? Okay, very good, very good. Okay. Well, just suffer me for a minute for all the people who don't know, the 5 people who don't know. John and Kate have 8 kids, a reality show, they're together, then they trash each other on TV, then they get a divorce, and then the process of the divorce. He's sleeping with this girl, he's sleeping with that girl, he's cheating on the nanny, with the nanny, he's smoking weed, all this stuff. So now, of course, he wants to now take his kids off the show. He says, I know what's best for my kids, even though trashing your wife on TV, that wasn't good for your kids, but that was another story. I ain't going to talk about your brother. But he says, I know what's best for my kids, and he's going on this whole circuit talking about how he doesn't want to be in the media, but yet he's in the media saying he don't want to be in the media. And they're saying, well, let me ask you a question. Did you have an affair with your nanny? No, I did not. Well, the nanny says you did. Did you have an affair with this girl? No, I did not. Well, she says you did. Did you smoke weed in front of your kids? And they got a picture of him like this with his tweezer fingers kissing up on his hand. I mean, I smoke weed. That's it right there. I don't want to ask the amen. See, y'all give me the amen because I won't put you on the spot, but I'll just be the one to smoke weed. You know, and he says, no, that's a Marlboro. I said, oh, some Cools. I said, well, I don't know if they make Cools anymore. I don't smoke cigarettes. But he said, that was a cigarette. Now, from what I know, you don't smoke cigarettes like this. Like this. You know what I'm saying? This is weed. You know what's really sad right now? Every service I did that, like some services just like 20 people will laugh because there's only 20 potheads in the crowd. I mean, all y'all knew. Lord, we got work to do, Lord. We got work to do. But I'm glad all y'all potheads are here. I'm telling you, this is the place you want to be. I really am honored. So anyway, he's like, no, that was a cigarette. I'm like, okay, whatever. So imagine if God's word was that inconsistent. Imagine if what God said to you really wasn't what he said to you, or he changed his mind, or he took it back. Now, we're in week 2 of a series called Body Language. We're talking about God's communication to us. God's communication to his body, the body of Christ. Now, it's not only what God says, it's what God communicates. Last week, we talked about logos. Everyone say logos. L-O-G-O-S, a Greek word. And we defined it as the full expression of God's rational thought. Everything God thinks and everything God wants to communicate to us is his logos. We talked about him communicating to us by speaking, communicates to us by writing, communicates to us through prophets, communicates to us through creation. His creation speaks to us. We're going to see that in a few minutes. Communicates to us through his son. Everything we talk about for the next couple of months will be summed up in Jesus. Jesus will have all the qualities in a person that God's logos has. So everything we learned from last week, this week, it's all going to be summed up in Jesus Christ. He is the summation, the full expression of God. So today we're going to talk about his spoken word, his statements, his rhema. Everyone say rhema. R-H-E-M-A, which is English words, but it's the Greek letters. But say rhema. That's his statements. Okay, we're going to talk about later his written word. We're going to talk about the word that's living. We're talking about the word became flesh. But today we're going to talk about his statements. Now, just look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. It says, Jesus talking to the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. Every rhema, word that speaks out of his mouth. So today we're going to talk about the words that come out of his mouth. Now, let me go back to last week. God's credibility as a God, the credibility of his character, his holiness, is directly related to the credibility of his communication. In other words, if God says something and lies, it questions his whole credibility. If God says something and says, I didn't mean that, or I forgot, or I changed, you know, I didn't really mean that, I got something different, then it questions the credibility of who he is. So a deity and or a person's credibility is directly related to the credibility of his communication, what he communicates. So when God speaks, when God writes, when God creates, and what his creation says, and what his actions say, all has to be consistent. And with God, it is completely consistent. Now, because we're made in the image of God, we need to strive, if you will, by faith, to communicate at the same level or in a similar level and similar manner as God communicates. Our communication needs to be consistent. God's yes is yes, his no is no. Our yes needs to be yes, and our no needs to be no. If you're a Christian and you can't at least tell the truth and or be consistent in what you communicate, then how are you any different from somebody else? So when Christ comes in you and fills you with the spirit of truth, well, the spirit of truth doesn't lie. Someone once said to me, asked me a question a couple years ago. We were at our other building in Ruffin Road. And they said, if God can do anything, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? Have any of you ever heard that before? How many of you never heard that before? How many of you have never heard that before? Okay, so just think about it. If God can do anything, can God make a rock so big he can't pick it up? Well, here's the answer. Here's the response, not even the answer. God can't do anything. God cannot lie. He cannot contradict himself. He cannot violate his own character. God says, this is holiness. I am holy, and I can't not be holy. I can't be tempted by sin. So God is saying, here are the parameters within which I live and exist and will always live and exist and always be consistent. So God's communication to us has to be consistent with who he is. He can't contradict himself or he ceases to be God. Okay, so here we are. We're going to talk about his spoken word. We're going to look at three. That's really six. Three characteristics of his rhema. Everyone say rhema. You're in Matthew, turn to John chapter 1. John 1, 1. Number one in your notes, God is never separated from his rhema. When God says something, he is never separated from what he said. Now, if I, as you hear my voice today, my voice will go into your ear and my voice will go in your head. And when you leave, it's with you. Hopefully, you remember something that was said. Or it's on the video or the CD or online and my voice is going wherever and I am separated from it. I'm not there with it. And you'll take it and you'll restate it or whatever, change it around. We are always separated from what we say. How many of you have ever had someone come up to you and say to you, you said this, and you said, I didn't say that. Raise your hand real high. Okay? You were separated from it. Matter of fact, you said it, you did say it, and it's out there, and now you're like, that ain't me. You're distancing yourself from what you said. Bless you. Man. He's probably over there going, I didn't do that. How many of you ever said something and someone said, you said this, and you said, I forgot? Okay? How many of you ever had someone say, you said this, and you said, I can't believe I said that? Okay? So your words went out, but then when it came back to you, like, nah, that's not me. God never does that. God says it, and he's with it. So when his word goes, he's still with his word. Wherever his word is, he is. Now, let's think about it. God is everywhere. That answers that. But let's read something. Look what it says in John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. Everyone say, the word. The word was with God. Say, with God. The word was God. Say, was God. God's word is him. He is his word. He can't be separated from himself. Let me read something else to you. Just write down Jeremiah 23:23. It may already be in your notes. Jeremiah 23:23, he says, am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I am everywhere. Wherever God's word is heard, God is there. Why is that significant? Because he's bringing his character with his word. He's not saying it and then forgetting about it. See, when God speaks to you, often we go, okay, he spoke to me. Okay, now what am I going to do with that by myself? God's like, you're not by yourself. I'm here. I said it. I'm here to represent it. I'm here to back it up. I'm here to support it. I'm here to remind you. I'm here to enhance it. I'm here to actually do it. We're going to see in a minute. So he's never separated from his words like we can be separated from his words. Why is that so important? You do not want to communicate to God and receive communication from him as you do when you do with people. A lot of times your boss will tell you what to do, and you go, And then when you leave the room, you bank on him or her forgetting. Teach you a little business term. If you're taking notes, you want to write this down. Pocket veto. See this pocket right here? Pocket veto is no. When you say no. Yo, with me? Okay, when you veto something, you say no to it. Okay, so the president gets a bill, he can veto it and say, I reject it. A pocket veto is where you have your no in your pocket. So you're going, okay, so we're going to go, we're going to meet at 2 o'clock, in and out, blah, blah. Yeah, I'll be there. Okay, man, can't wait. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. And as soon as you turn away, you take out your veto. I ain't going. And you know you ain't going. So at work, you're going, yeah, that's a great idea. Okay, I'll get that done. And you got your veto right here. As soon as the meeting's over, you go, I ain't doing that. Well, how you going to get out of it? I'll make something up. They'll probably forget anyway. God, he says something, he ain't going nowhere. He's right here. You think about it, you look over here, he's right here. Can't get away from him. He's never separated. So he's like, I said it, I haven't forgotten. How many of you have ever heard God whisper to you over the same thing, over and over and over and over and over and over and over? Why? Because he's right here. And he don't change. Number two, God's rhema represents his intent to act. God's rhema represents his intent to act. Turn Genesis chapter 1, the first book of the Bible, should be page 1. Verse 3. Look what it says. God said, everyone say, said, let there be light. Okay. Everyone say, God said. Then say, let there be light. And then say, and there was light. Okay. This book represents God, the sound of his voice. Let there be light. Okay? Let there be light. And then his voice says, make it happen. God created it with his mouth. His voice created it. Let me read another one. Verse 9. God said, everyone say said. Don't say anything. Let me read this whole long sentence. Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear. And then say, it was so. God said, water, move over there. Land, come up. And it happened. It happened. He said it. He was with his voice because he is his voice. And his words made it happen. Jesus talked to the demons. Demons, you deaf, dumb spirit, come out of him, enter me no more. Boom, demons obeyed him. The demons obeyed his voice. Look at verse 11. God said, everyone say, said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb that yields seed, fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed in itself on the earth, and it was so. Say it was so. God said, trees grow up with fruits that have seeds in them, of that tree. You never see an apple tree with apples that have orange seeds in them. Sounds simple, but it's not there. Now, I know some of y'all, how many of y'all are in college? Raise your hand. Okay. Okay, I know that probably all of you, unless you go to a Christian college, you are being taught in evolution. That everything just, depending on what theory of evolution and what they teach you, but it all happened by chance. And so it's by chance that orange trees grow oranges, just by chance, that the seed can take the nutrients out of the ground and create a tree that grows oranges that have the seed of the same thing in it, and by the way, that provide the vitamins that we need. That's all coincidence, okay, which is, to me, ridiculous. But that's just me. And the only reason I believe that is because that's what I believe in God. And God said that's what he did, and that's what's there. That's just me. Okay? But as since we're in church, this is what really happened. But here's what God did. God said, I am going to speak it, and it's going to happen. And it did. We see it. You know, the thing about, one thing about science is that science is a show, science is like Missouri. It's a show me state. You have a theory, you have an experiment, and then you have the results, and then you have it. If you look at what we have on earth, it's exactly what God said. And by the way, just to give you a little science nugget, whenever you have a fruit, a vegetable with the seed inside, the fruit itself is the ovary of the tree. The ovary. An apple is an ovary. I just let you think about that and go home and... And you know when you're really going to figure it out? The next time you go to bite one, you're going to be like, ah! Give me a hamburger. Well, a hamburger. You want to know what a hamburger is? I'm going to tell you because you have to know. Meat, and chicken is muscle. It's the muscle of the animal. That's what meat is. Did you not know that? What did you think it was? It's not the bone, it's not the skin, it's the muscle. So when you eat steak, you are eating muscle. Like thigh, you're eating the thigh. Drum, arm, you know, breast, you're eating the breast. It's muscle. You did not know that. That's what it is. God said, I am going to create all animals, all plants, all fish, all birds, and then man after its own kind. And watch this. They will only be able to reproduce after their own kind. There will be a genetic limitation on every living thing. Birds cannot mate with fish, and different species of fish cannot mate with other fish. You have different species that cannot mate with each other after its own kind. That's what the Bible says. That's what we have. There is no one species to another. That's a theory. There's no proof of it. God says, here's what it is. My point is this. He said it with his voice, and it happened. Write down Psalm 33, 6 to 9. Psalm 33, 6 to 9. Say amen if you're still tripping on the muscle thing. And the ovary. Ooh. It's true. You know, the day I figured that out, I started thinking, I thought of a cow. Okay, say, there's a bone, there's muscle and skin. What else could it be? There's nothing else there unless you eat the guts. When I was in the Philippines, they were eating pig intestines cooked in blood. You like that? Yeah, see, they like that. Ew. You like that? What's it called? Huh? Digua? Okay, hold on 1 second. Sister girl? What is it? Diddy Gowan. Is it good? It's really good. I ain't trying it. I'm sorry. I'm a punk. Call me a punk. Diddy, go on. Go ahead, girlfriend. Go ahead. Whatever. Psalm 33, 6. Let me tell you. Psalm 33, verse 6 to 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters into the sea as a heap. He lays up deep in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. Say awe. Why? For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Now, I know some of y'all thinking, now, come on. Yeah. Well, he's not a man like me and you. He's not a man like me and you. He's telling you all throughout the Bible, I said it. I did it with my voice. I spoke it and it happened. So what's the problem? So when I say something, I mean it. Jesus said he's coming back. Now, not everything God says does he intend for it to happen right at that moment. Jesus says I'm coming back and no one knows the hour. But be for sure, he's coming back. If he said he's coming back to get you, he's coming back to get you. If he said he's going to forgive you, he's going to forgive you. If he said he's going to protect you, he's going to protect you, because he can't be separated from those promises. So everything he says in here, he is going to back up. His credibility is on the line, and he ain't going to, that's not even an issue. And so when he speaks, he means it. Don't take his word as, oh, these are mythical things, and it's whatever, that was God. No. This stuff is true. And if you take it as true, you will see it happen as true in your life. So one, he's never separated from his words. He's always with his words. His words, his actual words, have the power and intent to do stuff. And here's the third one. This is this is this This is my favorite. Whatever his words create, it never stops speaking. That's the next one. Whatever his rhema creates and causes to happen, it in turn speaks about him. So when God says, let there be whatever, that whatever is designed to honor him. I'm going to say it one more time. If God speaks something into creation, into fruition, into reality, whatever God speaks into reality, that thing, person, occurrence, activity is designed to honor him and talk about him. Turn to Psalm 19. One of the reasons this is so critical to know, because if God's telling you to do something, and if God's telling you to be something, and God's telling you to say something, whatever he's telling you to do, which he is intending to back up, it all is all designed to honor him. And it's all designed to send a message to the world about him. So his voice is very active. His voice is powerful. His voice is what they call efficacious. It is there, it's designed to bring about a desired result that honors him. It's not just stuff he's saying to be heard. And it's not anything he's going to forget. It's not anything he's going to deny. It's not something he's going to change. His calling and gifting is irrevocable. Look what it says in Psalm 19, verse 1. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to show you what this means. You're going to see it in a minute. The heavens declare the glory of God. Remember last week we talked about, if you weren't here, we talked about the zodiac. The Bible calls the Maseroth, and that what we call the zodiac, the 12 zodiac signs, are really the gospel message in the stars. We have books in the bookstore if you want to go get them. But Libra, Leo, the lion, Jesus is the lion of Judah. Libra, the scales, your sin will find you out, and you shall be in want. Aries, the ram, blah, 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 blah. Virgo, the virgin. These are all the gospel. And what the devil did is he perverted it. Go in the bookstore and get the book. They declare the glory of God. Every month there's a new picture. And by the way, there's a main picture and then three little pictures. There's actually four. Three and one. Jesus, the Godhead, is three and one. So you got Libra then, but you got three little pictures. But let me read this. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night reveal knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone throughout all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In other words, God's creation is speaking and declaring the glory of God all day and night, and there's no human on the whole planet that don't get it. Yesterday, LSU played Florida. You're rooting for Florida. Tim Tebow. How many of y'all do not know who Tim Tebow is? Maybe I didn't say it right. How many of y'all do not know who Tim Tebow is? Oh, wow. That really surprised me. Okay, Tim Tebow's a college quarterback. He won the Heisman 2 years ago. He's a senior, plays for Florida. He is... sold out for Jesus. But what makes it more impressing is that he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It was all about his ministry work, and that he is respected by everybody because of his humility and his passion, the way he plays and the way he carries himself. And by the way, his word is consistent. Okay? But in the game, they showed the LSU Tigers have a tiger as a mascot. When you see a tiger, what do? Run? Run? So you turn on the TV and go, because I know you ain't been in the woods with one. So let me ask the question again. I'm sorry, because maybe you didn't understand. When y'all see a tiger, what do y'all do? Beautiful. Amen? Beautiful. What this Bible is saying is that the stuff that God made is so awesome that everybody can get it. it's undeniably awesome, undeniably unexplainable, undeniably gotta be God. So I'm gonna show you a picture. Now, last week I talked about space nebulas, and a lot of y'all didn't know what a space nebula was. How many of y'all do not know what a space nebula is? Go ahead, raise your hand. Don't be embarrassed. Go ahead. There you go. Okay. It's a space cloud. So I'm going to show you 14 of them. There's a couple of galaxies in here, but I just threw that in for extra points. And these space nebulas are measured in light year length, in light years. Light year is 6 trillion miles. That means if you travel 60 miles an hour, it would take you 8 million years to go that far. So 60 miles an hour on the freeway, just do that for 8 million years. That's one light year. You'll be old and crusty after all of that. But still, that's a light year. So 6 trillion miles. Are you with me? So when you hear me say 100 million light years, just go, I don't understand. So these things you're going to see are like 5 light years, 2 light years, 10 light years in size. And they're going to be lots of light years away, but they're all going to be like the joint. Beautiful. This is what our daddy made. And when our daddy spoke it into existence, he spoke it for the intent of many things, but one to say, it's going to tell you about me. I don't make junk. God don't make junk. Let me read the Bible. It says, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let there be signs for seasons and for days and years. Well, that is what they do. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. We get light on the earth. God made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. We got that. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the night from the darkness, and saw it, and it was good. That's what God said he did. That's what we got. So either someone's making something up, but I don't know how Moses or who wrote this would have known all that stuff was up there because he didn't have a telescope. You getting ready to get your mind blown. Feel free to go, ooh, or ah. Let's practice. Just want to make sure we got it. Okay, you ready? Here we go. First one is the Eagle Nebula, 6,500 light years away, 6 light years wide. Next one is Emerging Galaxies, 114 million light years away, 143,000 light years wide. Next one is Echo Light, 20,000 light years away, 13.7 light years wide. Ant Nebula, 3,000 light years away, 1.6 light years long. Cat Eye Nebula, 3,000 light years away, 1.2 light years long. Those things are the bomb. Cone Nebula, 3,600 light years away, 1.3 light years long. Beautiful. Whirlpool Galaxy, 31 million light years away, 87,000 light years wide. Oh my goodness, praise the Lord. Orion Nebula, 1,500 light years away. I don't know how big it is. Spiral Galaxy, 17 million light years away. 17 million, 7,400 light years wide. Ah! Sombrero Galaxy. ¿Qué pasó? 28 million light years away, 82,000 light years wide. Trifid Nebula, 9,000 light years away, 10.2 light years wide. Hourglass Nebula. Hourglass Nebula. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. 8,000 light years away. 8,000 times 6 trillion. Horsehead Nebula. 16. That's in the space. That's a horse. 1,600 light years away. 2.2 light years wide. Ain't that something? I wonder how that evolved after a horse on Earth. Lagoon Nebula. 9,000 light years away. 10.2 light years wide. Isn't that, that's our daddy. And we're here. Amen. How do you explain the horse? How did the horse nebula match the horse that evolved? unless the same creator made both. But you can just think about that. That's another sermon. But here's the point, is that God said, let's make some nebulas. Let's make them really big. How big? I don't know, just like that big. Go ahead, Jesus, you do one, okay? You top that, okay? Let's put them way out there so the little people take them 2,000 years to figure out how to find them. So we build these big telescopes and we find these things. What are we going to find in 100 years from now? The Bible says, the scientists say, well, the Bible says that God stretches the heavens like a curtain. Scientists say that the universe is 160 billion light years wide and expanding at the speed of light. God first said, I'm expanding it like a curtain. And then man said, it's expanding. God said, I'm putting stars in the heavens, and they're going to be for signs for seasons and days and night. Man says, there's stars, and we can read them and know what time of the year it is. Oh, we're smart. God said, I'm going to make man in my image. He's going to have an endocrine system, which is where you get your hormones, circulatory system, respiratory system, reproductive system, digestive system, skeletal system, muscular system, and they're all natural central nervous system, and they're all going to work together so you can function like me, so you can glorify me, so you can honor me. So when God created you and me, he created you and me with his voice so we can honor him. We don't honor him by sinning. We don't honor him by ignoring him. We honor him by serving him. One of the ways, everyone say one of the ways, is to join a ministry. For real. Coming to church, okay, we need to come to church, but it's what you do with what happens in church is what really more honors him even more. Is okay, God, I heard it. Now I'm going to go do something. I'm going to go read my Bible. I'm going to go repent. I'm going to go get the porn off my computer. Whatever it is I got to do, but I'm going to respond to the revelation that you reveal to me about yourself because you spoke me into existence so I can, my life can speak back and glorify you. One of those ways is to join a ministry. One of those ways. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you speak into our life truth. You speak into our life that which needs to exist. And I pray we would respond accordingly, that we would believe your word, trust your word, rely on your word. And I pray that we would allow your word to do what it's supposed to do in our life, what it intends to do, what you intended it to do. Thank you, Jesus, for being God. Lord, I pray that those people who stood up and stayed standing, would do something. Lord, this city, this country is hurting. May we be a light to it. May we be your representatives that people may see our love. And Lord, I pray for next week. I pray whatever you want to happen, happens. But Lord, if the protesters come, which we welcome, that we can really love those people and be a light to them, no matter what kind of nasty things they say, that we would love them. And we pray for the counter-protesters. We thank you that they feel comfortable to call and ask to come here, and we pray we can be a blessing to them as well. Thank you for putting us right in the middle of the action and trusting us with that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say one last thing. When stuff like that happens and or people criticize you, or attack you, it is an opportunity that God is trusting you with. And so take this as a lesson on how you deal with confrontation on your own as an individual. Amen? So God bless you. Go out there and volunteer.